Next Saturday is July 4th. We debated on whether or not to do the Independence Day celebration sermon today or next week, but next week will be after the fact, so I don't like to do things after the fact, so we're going to do it today. We're going to talk about Independence Day, and we're celebrating 250 years this year since the Declaration of Independence was signed, and so next Saturday will be the 4th, and that is the day that we celebrate our independence as the United States of America, our independence from the rule of Great Britain. As a matter of fact, as I mentioned, this is 250-year birthday of our, the 250th birthday of our independence. And I'll stand here today and tell you, I am proud to be an American. Think about Lee Greenwood's song, I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men and women who died so that we could be free. I'm thankful to be privileged to be born in the United States of America. Thankful for our Constitution and the laws that have been set down to protect the freedoms that we enjoy as U.S. citizens. I'm thankful for all those who have fought. Many gave their lives, paid the ultimate sacrifice for these freedoms. Others have been suffered because of injuries and a lot of mental anguish because of wars that have been fought not only to provide for these freedoms, but to maintain the freedoms that we enjoy. We need to be thankful for those freedoms. I know that our military has been mistreated. A lot of them have been terribly mistreated. And they, although they gave their, they were willing to give their lives, they went and fought to provide the freedoms, of those very freedoms of the ones that are abusing them and mistreating them. Those, the freedom to do that was paid for by the very ones that they're abusing and mistreating. And so I'm thankful for those. Many of our freedoms are being threatened today. We need to be extremely careful to do all we can to protect those freedoms and prevent them from being taken from us. It's alarming, amazing, it's disgusting to watch what's going on right now in the United States of America. And some of the politicians that are running on platforms of such things as doing away with law enforcement, to allow the devil to just have his way. Politicians that are promising free food for everybody, free housing for everybody, free health care for everybody. Their plan is to take over housing and just let people live there for nothing. Their plan is to take over the grocery stores so they can provide groceries for everyone. Their plans are to provide health care at no cost. Now, I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. I think I've got just a little bit of sense left, and I think I got enough sense to know that if you're going to give something away, somebody's going to have to provide it. Can I get an amen? Somebody's going to have to work to provide for all these giveaway programs that these politicians are promising all these people. blew my mind that there were several elected, what, this past week, running on that platform. Open our borders and let all the drug dealers and criminals and everyone come in here and just take over our country. That's what they're running on. Those are violating freedoms that we have enjoyed for many years, all of our lives. They are trying to take away freedoms that many of our family and friends gave their lives fighting for. And that don't sit well with me. And I hope it don't sit well with you. And I hope you do everything you can to prevent that coming closer to home. We're blessed to live not only in the United States of America, but most of us live in the state of Florida. And we've got some leadership here that still stands for good, as well as Alabama. So we need to do all we can to hang on to these freedoms. I'm reminded of our First and Second Amendments to the United States of America, or to the United States Constitution, which are being threatened today. The First Amendment says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. We've seen this First Amendment violated many times, especially back when the COVID, I don't know what I even want to call that, something that was man-made and brought on to try to kill people off, to reduce the population. That's what it was all about, the so-called COVID vaccine, which was nothing short of poison to try to kill people, and it has been effective in what it was planned for, and many people have died, and many others are suffering from the effects of that poison. I was talking to a lady just a couple weeks ago, and she was telling me about a dear friend of mine in Phoenix Springs, who, businessman, smart, great Christian man, the last poison shot he took, he immediately lost his mind. Now he has to have somebody with him all the time. You know, it is sad. Can't remember what happened yesterday. And it happened just immediately when he took this shot. There, during that, the real worst of that, we saw churches told that they could not have service. There were churches threatened. There was pastors arrested. I know there was at least one arrested in Florida because he refused to stop having church. I'm thankful that our law enforcement up here is a little different from some of those down there. And they didn't come up here to try to arrest us because we had church through the whole thing. But a lot of churches were threatened and told that they could not have church. Well, that amendment that I just read you says that we are to have the right to peaceably assemble. Those churches that's a right they have. People have a right to assemble in church and have church. But those rights are being threatened a lot of times. Our speech is threatened. How much have you heard about around Christmas time that so many are threatened and told that they can't say Merry Christmas anymore? You know, you have to say Happy Holidays. Can't say Merry Christmas. Well, I think that First Amendment says that we have freedom of speech. And the sad part about that is it's only our speech that is being threatened. Because I have to listen to all kinds of profanity and vulgarity. And all that's fine. Nobody seems to care about that. But they want to tell us that we can't talk about Jesus in public. You know, we are, as Christians, we have been categorized as terrorists. How far from the truth that a true Christian is a terrorist. And so, there are a lot of our freedoms that were bought and prayed for that are being threatened. And we can stick our head in the sand and act like it's not happening. Or we can take a stand and stand up for the rights that have been bought and paid for us. My suggestion is that we take a stand or we're not going to have any rights. Christians won't have any rights. Because Satan's desire is to just run rampant over you. And he certainly has plenty of people that are on his side that will try to push his agenda. And if we don't stand up, then we're going to see the effects of it. The Second Amendment gives us the right to keep and bear arms. Those rights are being threatened. They're trying to take our guns away from us. Why would they want to take our guns away from us? Because if you disarm someone, then you can take them and anything they have. They have no defense, right? Because you got all the guns. They don't have anything to fight with. That's the campaign. That's part of the campaign that's going on to try to disarm us so that we have no protection. Actually, we have the best protection whether we have a gun or not, but the guns are one of our constitutional rights. It's our right as a U.S. citizen to bear arms. So, don't just sit back and let these things happen. Pay attention when these politicians start campaigning. Pay attention to what they're running on. Pay attention to their records. Pay attention to who they are and what they stand for. And if they don't stand for the same things you stand for, then don't put them in office. You know? We have a responsibility. And so, we need to protect those responsibilities as best we can. The effort right now is to take over the great United States of America that so many people gave their lives for. So if you, like me, appreciate the freedoms that you have, then you need to wake up. Start defending those rights while we still have them. There's another Independence Day that we need to consider also. If we're Christians, that's the day that we declared our independence from the rule of sin, the rule of Satan. When we come to the point in our life of realizing that God loves us enough that He was willing to give His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer and die on a cruel cross for us to pay for our sins. We realize that we are sinners. We don't deserve God's forgiveness. We don't deserve life. but we rather deserve death and eternal separation from God. When we come to the point of realizing that and accepting that gift of salvation, that gift of forgiveness, repenting of our sins, turning away from sin, and turning to Jesus Christ, we begin to serve Him and live for Him. We declare our independence from Satan's rules in our lives. And we no longer are under Satan's rules. Satan can no longer make us do anything, because greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. Satan can still tempt you. Satan will still tempt you. I promise you, he will tempt you. He will do everything in his power. He'll use everything in his arsenal to try to tempt you, to try to cause you to stumble, to fall, to fail to be an effective witness for Christ. He's going to do that. That's his job. Jesus said that Satan, the thief, has come to steal and to kill and to destroy. And he does that. He is faithful to what he's come to do. Satan is. But he has no power over the Christian. He has no power over the believer. Because when we accept Christ as our Savior and allow Him to come Lord of our lives, the Holy Spirit moves in, and we have the Holy Spirit living in us, so we have power over Satan through Jesus Christ. And so we don't have to fall to his trickery and his devices. And so this morning I want to talk to you a little bit about our Independence Day as Christians. From the very day, the point that I trusted Jesus to become Savior, my Savior, and allowed Him to become Lord of my life, I declared my independence from the rule of Satan. He no longer has authority in my life. Flip Wilson came out with a little saying that I think everybody said it for a while. The devil made me do it. Anybody ever made that statement? Oh yes, I can answer that for you. Well, for the believer, for the Christian who has placed his faith and trust in Jesus Christ, that is not a true statement. The devil cannot make you do anything. He can tempt you. He can try you. But you have to make the choice. And so, as Christians, we don't use that statement, because the devil can't make us do anything. You know? So, no longer can I say the devil made me do it, because he can't. As we think about this freedom that we have, and it is a freedom, I'm reminded of Galatians, and we're going to be looking in Galatians this morning, chapter 5 and 6, and we'll be referencing some other scriptures as well. But the first scripture I want to mention is found in Galatians chapter 5. Paul is writing to the church at Galatia, and he says, "Stand fast." That's what we need to do as American citizens, and that's what we need to do as believers, as Christians. We need to take a stand. We need to stand fast, stand firm, stand on a solid foundation. What is that foundation? Jesus Christ. As Americans, we stand on the foundations of the Constitution of the United States of America and those rights that we have as citizens of the great United States of America. As believers, we stand firm, we stand fast on our faith in Jesus Christ, the rock of our salvation. Our salvation is founded on Jesus Christ. He is the foundation that's unmovable. Paul said, "Stand fast." Stand firm, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Who's made us free? Jesus Christ. Jesus said over in John chapter 8, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. What? Free from what? Free from the bondage of Satan. We've been made free from the bondage of Satan. As the United States of America has been made free from the bondage of Great Britain. And all the overtaxing and things that they were doing. And we got freed from that. As believers, we've been freed from Satan's bondage. He no longer has us bound because we've been set free. We sang a song. I haven't sang it in a while. It's called, He Set Me Free. Anybody ever heard that song? True statement for anyone who has trusted Jesus to become Lord of their life. Jesus set us free from the bondage of Satan, from the bondage of sin. He says, and Paul says here, stand fast and firm, therefore in the liberty, the freedom wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Declare your independence from Satan's rules, Paul said. You have that right. He says, declare, stand firm, stand fast. Don't let Satan drag you down. Don't let him make you believe that you are under his authority, because you are not. No longer are you under Satan's authority, because you've been freed from that. You've been made free. Drop down to verse number 7. He says, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Satan is always trying to twist and confuse us of the truth. He'll try to make you believe that, oh, that's not what the Bible means. You know, that's not what he meant. That's not what he's saying. But Satan's a liar. As a matter of fact, just to go ahead and clarify that, Jesus said of Satan, Satan is not only a liar, he is the father of lies. Can you believe what Satan says? Not on your life. He will promise you a whole lot of things he cannot deliver on. Right now we've seen a lot of politicians that have promised a lot of things. There's no way possible they can deliver on. Free food for everyone. Free housing for everyone. Free health care for everyone. It's impossible. But that's the way Satan does. He promises things that he has no authority to be promising, because he can't deliver it. On the other hand, when God makes a promise, when Jesus makes a promise, you can believe it. It's absolutely true. No one has ever, or will they ever, been able to catch God in a lie. Because he don't lie. As a matter of fact, not only does he tell the truth, he is the truth. Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. He is not the best way. He's not a better way. He's not one of the ways. He's the only way to salvation, to true forgiveness. He is the truth. Not one of the truths, but He is the truth. And He is the life. And so, we need to understand today that if we have genuinely repented of our sins, believing that Jesus paid for our sins, we have trusted Him for our forgiveness and invited Him to take control of our lives, we need to understand that we no longer are under the rule and the bondage of Satan. We need to understand Satan has no authority over us anymore. We've declared our independence from Satan and from his rule. So many times we get bound down and we don't do things that we know we should be doing because Satan's threatened us and told us all kind of lies. We can't do that, you know. And so we need to understand and declare our independence from Satan and from his rule. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." So, Satan has no authority, because greater is he, the Holy Spirit that's living within you as a believer, than Satan and all his armies that are in the world. Okay? That's deserves a victory shout. We need to declare our independence and live like we've declared our independence. Another verse that just kind of puts another exclamation on that is found in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, which says, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." And so, we have been empowered when we trust Jesus as our Savior, when we declare our independence from the rule of Satan, we're empowered. The Holy Spirit moves in, takes control. God is the God of all. He is the God, the Creator. God, He's the one that created us. He's the one that created everything else. He is completely in charge of things. Nothing can happen to you unless God allows it to happen. If He allows it to happen, it's for your strengthening and for His glory. We go through some difficult times. Not because God brings them on us. God allows us to go through some difficult times to strengthen us spiritually so that we lean heavily on Him. And we learn more about the strength and the power that we can get when we trust Him, when we lean on Him. If we never went to a trial, we would be spiritual weaklings. I promise you, you'll never see an athlete that has not been through some trials. You won't see an athlete, a true athlete, who has not been through some pain. There's pain that comes with the training. A runner runs when it hurts, but he keeps persevering. He keeps running even when it hurts. And the more he runs, the more he's able to run. And he continues to expand his strength to become stronger. Someone lifting weights don't start off lifting 500 pounds. They start off with a small amount. And they keep increasing, but lifting even when it hurts, but they just because it starts hurting, they don't quit. If they do, they don't get any stronger. As believers, we're going to face some difficulties. There are going to be some times that we hurt. Look at Job. Job hurt a little bit, didn't he? I think he did. I don't want to be in that position. I don't want to experience what he experienced. But he continued to get stronger. And you and I will, as we continue to serve Jesus Christ, as we continue to persevere, as we continue to stand fast and stand firm in our faith. So you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. It's not God that's causing those difficulties. A little leaven leaveleth a whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. You don't worry about the one that's causing the problem. They're going to answer for themselves. You got to concern yourself with yourself and your relationship with Jesus Christ. I've said to a lot of people a lot of times, they've talked about, you know, this person did this and that person did that. And I say, hey, I'm responsible for Mike McVeigh. I will give an account of what Mike McVeigh did. Everything Mike McVeigh did. I'm going to give an account for that. I'm not going to give an account for what Sam McVeigh did. He's going to give account for what he did. But I'm going to give account for what Mike McVeigh did. I'm going to give an account if I didn't warn Sam when he was in danger. When he was endangering himself, when he was about to step off the edge of that cliff, and I didn't warn him. I just stood back and kept my mouth shut. I'm going to give an account for that. If I didn't warn you when I saw you about to get in trouble. But I'm going to give an account for me. I'll give an account for you. I'll give an account for my responsibilities to you. And you will give an account for you and your responsibilities to warn others. That's the way it is. Okay? And so, I realize, and Paul said there, he that troubleth you will bear judgment whosoever he will. Whoever it is that's giving you the problem, they're going to give account for that. Okay? Your responsibility is to God for the way you respond to that trouble. Now, if you get mad because somebody did something and you go to cussing, ranting, raving, and carrying on, acting like a devil, you'll give account for that too. You're going to give account for whatever you do and not. You're not going to give an account for what somebody else does. Drop down verse 13. It says, for brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. What a joy it is to serve somebody else. To be able to help somebody when they're in need. To be able to share the gospel with someone who is headed for hell. What a joy. That's what Paul says. He said, don't use that liberty for an occasion of the flesh to acquire fleshly rewards. Think about your relationship with Christ, what He's done for you, and live your life in a way that He will be honored and blessed as you serve others, as you help someone else. We've all been helped, right? Anybody here that's never been helped? No, I can answer that. We've all been helped. And the greatest help of all is what Jesus Christ has done for us. And if we have been blessed, then we need to bless others. We need to serve others. Verse 16 says this, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, not under the law, talks about the works of the flesh and the Spirit. We're to be led by the Spirit. We're to be led by Jesus Christ, by the example that He set for us. The example He set, wherever He went, He was serving people, serving others. There was not a selfish bone in His body. Never selfish, but always selfless. If you really want to be blessed, start practicing that. Serve others. It's not all about you. It's about Jesus Christ. And if you'll serve others for Christ's sake, you'll be blessed in ways that you could never imagine. I promise you. Declare your independence from Satan. If you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are no longer subject to Satan and his trickery. You don't have to listen to him anymore. You're not his. He's not your master. You have a new master. You've chosen Jesus Christ. You once were a servant of Satan. We all were. We've all sinned. We all fall short of the glory of God. We've all been servants of Satan at one time or another. We were born in sin, born with a sin nature. But if you've declared your independence, then he has no authority anymore in your life. Don't let him convince you that he does. He's a liar. He's a loser. Let him know that. Be thankful to be an American citizen. Be thankful for the freedoms that we enjoy in the United States of America. But be also thankful, and even more thankful, for the freedoms that we enjoy as members of the kingdom of God, being children of God, a child of the King. I'm thankful that I'm a child of the King. My father owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. He owns a hill. He owns the taters in the hill. He owns a worm in the tater. It's all his. And I'm an heir to all that. How about you? Father, we love you and we thank you so much. God, I thank you for the price that was paid to pay for the freedoms that we enjoy as citizens of the great United States of America. But I thank you more for the price that was paid for the freedom from the bondage of sin that was paid for by your Son, my Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for that person today that's seated in this building that has never come to the place of genuinely accepting that, claiming their independence from Satan, declaring their faith in Jesus Christ. Father, if there's one here today who is struggling with that decision, that choice, Holy Spirit, I pray right now that you help that person deal with that heart. Draw them to yourself. Help them to realize the greatest decision, the greatest choice that they could ever make or ever will make in their life is the choice of trusting Jesus, allowing Him to be Savior and Lord of their lives. Father, for whatever decision otherwise that needs to be made today, I pray that we heed and hear the Holy Spirit this morning as you speak. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Stand with me for a moment. Music's playing. If you're here today and you've never declared your independence from the rule of Satan, then I would encourage you to do that today. It's a simple thing. The most important decision you'll ever make in your life. Realizing that you're a sinner. All of us have sinned. Realizing that Jesus loves you enough that He was willing to die on a cross to pay your sin debt. And believing that if you'll simply repent of your sins and invite Him, He'll come live in your heart, take control of your life, give you life eternal. If you're here and you've never done that, if you just slip out from where you are and come forward, I'd be glad to pray with you. You don't need to confess anything to me, but I'll certainly pray with you. I'll share Scripture with you. I'll do anything I can to help you, to encourage you. If there are other decisions, other choices that need to be made this morning, then feel free to slip out and come forward. I will encourage you. I'll help you. I'll pray for you. Whatever I can do. Anyone, quickly. Thank you for being here today.